This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com. It's
a beautiful morning. We got a new act. It's phenomenal.
It's sensational.
It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a ass.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcasts. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
It's fun having a super genius listening to our program.
It's a cold morning is what it is. It's 11 degrees below zero. The high today, just zero. Feels like 23 below. There's an extreme cold warning for the state.
Yeah.
Maybe some snow on the way, a little bit of snow tonight and into tomorrow. But, just stay nice and warm. Stay bundled up. Okay?
Well, you sound really comfortable.
I do.
Are you more relaxed than ever before?
What do you say?
You're sounding a little sedate.
You know, I think since I got off caffeine, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't drink nothing but decaf. Oh, but God. Yeah, I'm a little calmer. Maybe sleepy, too.
Yeah. Not good.
Well, you know, when the doctors tell you to get rid of the caffeine, you get rid of the caffeine.
You really have to, yeah.
Yep. By the way, it's time to give away a couple of tickets here.
Can you what? Maybe get a sugar rush? With Could we work that angle?
Do I really sound that sleepy?
No.
Oh,
no, okay. You sound relaxed, not sleepy.
Well, I am relaxed. What's wrong with that? You're a little too hyper. You're a little too energized.
I think you're right about that, too. So, all right, let's get to
do we have some Boys to Men music?
Yes.
Come on.
I was just about to ask, could we have some Boys to Men music?
We've got a couple of tickets to give away. We're giving away tickets all this week.
Yes.
To Boys to Men. They're coming to the Wisconsin State Fair in August, but we've got the tickets now. You can also get tickets at wisconsinstatefair.com. But if you want to win them this morning, you can text us. Just get on the Civic Media app. It's free. You can download it right away and text in the word men. Men would be the word to text in to us. And if we select your name, we will send you the digital tickets here in a couple of weeks. Okay?
All right.
Boys to Men. Send that word men. And if you don't have the Civic Media app, you can text us at 608-879-8255.
And use that app also to text us and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Just to pass this along once again, Catherine is reminding us constantly here. And I'm going to say it again because I want her to stop texting us. Schools are closed.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, right? We got the
is
word
that good
out.
Enough? Can we just...
You know, I think a lot of the schools just send out a message on, you know, on their apps and on their phones. And,
yeah.
But yes, the schools are basically all closed for today.
What are we doing here then? Why did we all have to come into work?
Well, yesterday was a holiday. We didn't have to work then, but we came in just because, you know, that's what we do.
That's right.
Somebody's got to hold the hand
what
of Southern Wisconsin.
What happens if a pipe bursts when we're on the air, right?
Well,
now?
So what? What, in the bathroom?
It's going to be mass chaos. Well, like 10 feet away from me, there's a pipe running through the wall that takes all of like the storm water off of the roof.
Are you scared?
What if it just explodes next to me and starts spewing frozen water everywhere?
Okay. Really? What do you think the chances are that that's going to happen? Are you really that?
See, I just want a day off, Gordy. I just want to be gone out of here.
Really?
Yeah.
You got 1 foot out the door already. What are you talking about?
He keeps
riding his bike here. You know, it's too cold for a bicycle.
Yeah. Why do you? Are you riding your bike? Really? I thought you were just walking.
No, I usually walk here. I live a couple blocks away.
He took my parking space. He brought his car. Thanks a lot, Sam.
You know, there's a car out there that's been parked there for a couple of days with Illinois plates.
Oh.
And the dome light is on.
Oh, no.
The dome light was on yesterday. Oh. It's still on today. I'm thinking, how is that possible?
Yeah.
You think the battery would run down by now, right?
Yeah.
But it's just parked there.
It's weird. Okay. Yeah. Are you
Yeah. I'm parked right next to it.
All right. Well, let's get
I tried to open the door just as a good citizen. I thought
the alarms went off. And
no. The doors were locked. I'm like, well, I did my part. What am I supposed to do? Poor person's going to come back. Their battery's going to be run down and they're going to be out of luck.
You know, you should just left your card on the window to say that you tried your civic best to help out.
Well, I work at Civic Media.
You know, see? Doug just civic sent in cities. A text summarizing, I think this show as a whole very well. What a surreal mix. Covering the end of the rule of law, covering the richest man in the world, giving a Sieg Heil salute at Trump's inauguration, too. And now we're giving away some Boys to Men tickets.
We got it all for you.
We do.
You don't need to go anywhere else.
We have no particular format in mind. All right. Well, okay. The big story is, it's not a surprise. We warned everybody about this. Steve Rattner, who's on Morning Joe, has warned everybody about this. We've played clips from that particular show. So, you know, it's not going to be a surprise, but maybe it will be a surprise to a few. Listen up. Speaker Mike Johnson and House MAGAs have released the proposed Trump tax cuts, which include a tax increase on single parents, Catherine, taxing college scholarships for students and raising taxes for homeowners. My, this is wonderful, huh?
Wonderful news.
And this is, by the way, all of this is to find money to pay for the corporate and billionaire tax cuts. I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up. I'm not, trying to blow this out of proportion. This truly is their reason for doing this. They've come right out and said it. The head of household status was designed to benefit single parents who take on the primary responsibility of caring for a dependent, allowing them to be charged lower rates on more income. For example, in 2025, the 12% tax bracket begins at $11,900 for single filers. But for head of household, it's $17,000.
Hmm.
So that's quite the gap there, you know? $5,000. Right. So, yeah. Now, this is going to be an extra tax on single family head of households.
Single parent.
Single parent households.
Right.
Yeah. So this is crazy, right? And, you know, it's not just one kid, but you might have two or three.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to cost the head of household a lot more money.
Yeah. And the billionaires are just, you know,
this is to help the billionaires. Yeah. We're trying to find money to give them for tax cuts. Now, how about this one? Students already struggling to pay tuition. Well, dig deep in that pocket there. Qualified scholarships and fellowships are generally excluded from taxable income if used for tuition and related expenses.
Okay.
This option would make all scholarships and fellowships taxable, increasing the revenue by $54 billion over 10 years to pay for those tax cuts for corporations and billionaires. And then, of course, Trump and Republicans are aiming to kill the tax deduction for mortgages, screwing 86 million American homeowners out of their money. The GOP is going to slaughter the middle class, essentially. And what that means, this deduction for mortgages, it really targets those people who just buy homes. They're first-time home buyers or people who have just purchased a home because the interest is so extreme, you want to write all that stuff off.
Yeah.
Normally, if you have a home that's well invested, you've paid your mortgage for many, many years, you don't have the interest rate, so you take the standard deduction. But in this case, most people would, you know, want to deduct all that interest that they're paying in for the first, you know, 5 or 6 years. But they're going to take that away. Deduction for mortgages gone to pay for billionaires' tax cuts. This is just.
Does this have to go through Congress? Does this have to get signed off by
the House?
This
is the House's idea so far.
Right. Okay.
Here are a few responses. that sounds like the stupidest, most unproductive, useless stuff ever. Vivek and Elon just told Americans they needed H-1B visas because not enough Americans are educated, and you want to force the smartest college students to get a full-time job to pay taxes on their scholarships. All right, sounds good. How about this? You know, there's all these skeptics, and when you read this kind of stuff, they're saying, well, I don't know. It says here, where's the proposed tax code in which you speak? Do you have it?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Mm. Are you just a propagandist trying to rabble-rouse the last few holdouts of your liberal madness? Well, actually, they have screen captures in the story.
Really?
So, yeah, of the bill. So, okay. I mean, if this person did look at the story and the posting on X, they would have seen, you know, screen captures of the actual writing in the bill. So it's out there. It's going to happen.
I thought this was going to be the administration of common sense. Didn't they say that? Coming in a couple of days ago?
And I looked at what the tax code is going to look like, their proposed tax code, and that means that Americans making under $157,000 will be paying between $1,200 and $1,400 more in taxes if the Trump tax cuts, the new ones, go into effect. So that is the big story today.
Yeah, right.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
Not good news for anybody looking for a break. And, you know, my brothers, of course, you know, they say, wait and see what happens. You know, you never know. You know, this House bill may not make it to the Senate.
Are they going to have the first cabinet meeting with all the billionaires getting together, high-fiving each other as they walk in the door?
Well, they're all part of the administration now. So
There's
it won't be hard to get them all together.
Yeah.
Plan in that dark
Can't
room.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You know, the inaugural picture of Trump, right? I mean, it's what kids do. They hold a flashlight under their face in a dark room.
That's kind of the look he was going for.
That's the look he was going for.
The face he was given in his mugshot, kind of.
It was the exact same thing, although he shined a light from underneath, and it looks scary.
It is scary. That's going to be hanging up in every post office and federal building all across America, that picture. Okay, this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress, where you can sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check out their east side location or on the west side, or you can go to their website, verlo.com. Be sure to ask about their lifetime guarantee, and they got a lot of accessories there to make your sleeping better.
That's right.
Okay?
We'll get to the Elon Zig Heil. Mm-hmm. Also, Well, you know, what the plans for Gaza.
Ah, yes. Going to make it into a resort area, right?
Yes.
And still can win Boys to Men tickets. Just text us the word MEN to the Civic Media app. You could be a winner.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Got a lot of paperwork to take care of over here.
92.7 WMDX. We used to use the paper rattle.
Yes.
Cover up mistakes that we've made.
All right.
We
still do sometimes.
Okay. Golden age, golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules. Thank you, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Time for Brittany Merlot to join us. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Are you freezing?
We're freezing.
We're below freezing.
Yes.
How are you?
Yeah.
I am
carrying the space heater with me everywhere I go. That's how cold it is.
Oh. No kidding. Yeah.
Well, I've got a tip for everybody. If you want a long sleeve T-shirt, which I recommend in winter, especially in weather like this, $9.99 at Michaels.
Michaels?
Yeah. Michaels has T-shirts where you can put emblems on it. That's what they're selling them for, you know, for macrame. I don't know, you know, throwing stuff on these T-shirts.
I don't think you put macrame on a T-shirt.
I know. You know, some some kind of art. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, you know, if you want a cheap T-shirts, that's where they have them.
Okay. So
you got me thinking. We should make "We Survived This Arctic Blast" T-shirts or something like that. 2025 edition.
I like it.
That's right.
So how cold is it in Wausau this morning?
We were at 22 below right now. Jeez. Actual temperatures with a wind chill of about 40 below at the moment.
Lord.
Yes.
That's awful.
Yes, yes.
It's 11 below here or thereabouts.
Mm. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not. You know, I looked back at temperatures. I'm like, are we setting records? Are we anywhere near them? No, we're nowhere near them.
Oh,
so we've been worse on this day before, so we can do this.
Okay.
Maybe.
We're fine. We're getting warmer from here on out. There's good news. I mean, our temperatures are rising all day today, even through the overnight and into tomorrow afternoon. So we'll be above zero around midnight tonight, finally, and then continuing up from there.
All right.
Any chances for snow?
We are looking at snow chances. So sunny today, clouds move in by this evening, snow pushes in by early tomorrow morning, some light chances in the morning, and then again in the afternoon. We're not looking at much, a trace to about a half an inch.
Okay.
But finally warm enough for it to snow, which is good.
Excellent. Now I understand in a couple of days you're going to go, you're getting out of here for a little mini weekend vacation. Thing?
Yes, I need to do some research on the sunshine and thaw.
So you're headed south?
I am, like a bird, going to Florida. I'm out of here.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a thing to do, if you can do it. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Brittany, for all of this bad, very cold weather. I blame you. We always blame the weather person anyway.
That's right.
And I'm carrying on that tradition.
You know, it's great for all those ice fishermen out there, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Safety on ice.
Yeah, be careful out there. All right, Brittany, thank you so much.
All right.
Talk to you tomorrow morning.
Guys, have a good day.
Yep.
Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist. Okay. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be talking to Pat McBride. He's a Wisconsin sports fan, and when he was a younger man, he worked for the Bucks and the Brewers and the Packers all at the same time. I want to figure out how that's even possible.
Yeah. Well, he has a book, right?
I believe so. Right?
I don't know if he's actually written a book. Oh. We'll have to ask him. He works at the UW now. He's like a... Well, he knows a lot of stuff. He's like a cardiologist researcher. He's a professor. He's a smart guy.
Okay.
We'll talk to him just after the break at the bottom of the hour.
Okay. Let's take a look at the Sieg Heil that everybody's talking about. Elon, of course, very excited, very exuberant, couldn't contain himself at the inauguration and after the swearing in, and it was kind of silly and ridiculous, and it's kind of something that he was I guess his influence from his grandparents kind of bled over. His grandparents were very big fans of Nazi Germany and apartheid and all that kind of stuff. So there is a history here. Now, I'm going to play a cut here. This is a fellow by the name of Hassan Piker. He's a political live streamer. My sons watch every once in a while. And he tuned over, you know, take a look at what's going on yesterday at the White House. And he, his surprised look was just fascinating. But he also said something here. And I want to play cut 104 for you. Here, listen to this here.
And I just want to say thank you. Anyway, let's look at one of these tech billionaire oligarchs speaking at the inauguration.
The Sieg Heil.
My heart goes out to you.
Did he just Sieg Heil?
It is thanks to you that the future civilization.
A little bit of a shock. And that was reposted by Jerry Rig Everything. Now, if you don't know about Jerry Rig Everything, this guy used to test out phones. I don't know if he still does that or not. He used to drop them, see if they broke, you know, scratch the screen, what it took to scratch the screens on them. He even took them apart to show you what the battery looked like and how it was mounted in the phone. You know, he was a tech guy doing all that kind of stuff. And he wrote this. I currently own four different Tesla vehicles. By the end of 2025, I will own zero. Tesla vehicles.
Okay.
So, that's a good promise. The Elon video was followed by photos, by the way, of other politicians with their arms in the air, looking like, you know, Zig Heils, but not really. They're just photos, you know, that stop a motion. And, you know, it's just like somebody, you know, waving their hand around.
Yeah, maybe they're just waving. And
that's all they're doing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not Zig Heils, but they try to make it seem like everybody else did it. Look, there's Hillary. There's Kamala. You know, MAGA is mad about what was going on. You know, all these accusations that Elon Musk gave a Nazi salute out there. Mm-hmm. And CNN had a hard time covering this thing. They
did they?
Well, they didn't want to come right out and say Sieg Heil, mention Germany, Nazis, whatever. You know, they can't say anything about that because that's the media. That's where we got to this point. Cut 105. Let's listen to the reactions of the CNN hosts.
Okay. No time, I'm afraid, John.
We'll have to hold that one over, I think.
Yeah, right. A whole 38 seconds. All right, well, we'll just skip that one. But they had a hard time. I described it. They had a hard time mentioning it, and they didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, coming up right around the corner, we'll talk to Pat McBride. He's in the studio here. Yep. He's a Wisconsin sports fan. And he'll tell us about his time working for the Bucks and the Brewers and the Packers. It's all coming up next on John and Gordy.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Shoplift Emporium, the world's first store intended to fill the needs of today's busy kleptomaniacs. Our cluttered aisles, unstaffed dressing rooms, mirrorless walls, and untrained, uncaring security guards make it almost impossible for us to catch you. So why pay retail? Why pay wholesale? Come on down to Ed's Shoplift Emporium, where everything on sale is a real steal.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Great place.
I think that's where Sam got the coffee maker that broke the other day.
They got free parking there, too.
Oh, well, I see.
It's 7:35. It's really cold out there this morning, 11 below zero. Bundle up. Want to send our congratulations out to Diane from Madison. She's going to go see Boys to Men. They're coming to the Wisconsin State Fair in August. We'll have more tickets to give away tomorrow. Right now,
I thought she was asking us out. You know, I saw the text, men.
No, that was the text word, John. Had you been paying attention,
I never pay attention to the word.
Okay. All right. Time for us to welcome in our guest. Pat McBride is with us. He's an author. He wrote this book called The Luckiest Boy in the World. Pat, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good to have you with us. Now, understand, you know, we introduced you as being someone who, as a young man, you worked for the Brewers, the Bucks, and the Packers.
That's correct.
All around the same time, right?
Yeah, at age 15.
Wow. Well, tell us, first of all, about your experience with the Brewers. How do you get a job with the Brewers as a young man? As a bat boy, right?
Yes. Well, actually, let me just say, you know, listening to your show on the way in, my mother was a political reporter and covered the White House. And so I first started, I met three different presidents on my way in.
No kidding.
This is an interesting time. Yeah.
Which three?
Well, JFK, she worked on JFK's campaign. So I met him several times. And then I met LBJ at the White House. She took us to the White House. And then I met Tricky Dick. And so we've been here before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I was there when he did the famous, you know, sign.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yep. I'm not a crook.
Yeah, I am not a crook. We snuck in, my twin brother and I wrote this book, and we snuck in and saw him do that. And just then somebody came up and tapped us on the shoulder and said, "Hey, you kids aren't supposed to be here." So then I decided I didn't have a career in politics. My twin brother is the mayor of Wauwatosa, and he and I decided it's time to write this book. So I got a job with the Brewers when Bud Selig said, you know, we need Major League Baseball back in Milwaukee. We used to run around the stadium when the Braves were there. Mm-hmm. And Bud Selig, I opened the paper up one morning, the Milwaukee Sentinel, and there was an essay contest to work for the Brewers that he was bringing back to Milwaukee.
What year was this?
That actually was 1969. He had 11 games with the White Sox. Okay. He was trying to buy the White Sox. And there was an essay that said, you know, I want to be a bat boy because. So I wrote, I want to be a bat boy because I would like to be doing a small part to bringing baseball back to Milwaukee. I would hope the spirit I would show would be contagious. 25 words.
Oh, and that's very nice.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 15. And the judge of the contest was Eddie Matthews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he picked my essay.
No.
Okay. Out of 1,000 kids.
That's great.
Yeah.
Who's third baseman?
Third baseman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, with the passing of Bob Uecker just a few days ago, I got to ask about that. Did you get to know him pretty well?
Got to know him real well, yeah.
And you do a terrific Uecker imitate. Let's hear your Uecker, okay?
Yeah.
Come on.
Just a little bit high and get up. Get out of here for Robin. Hey, how about that? Another home run for Robin. Two in this game.
Yes. Wow, that's spot on.
Yeah.
So give us a Uecker story or two.
Yeah. So what you heard on the radio and what you saw on the TV was Bob Uecker 100% of the time. So we had this dining room that all the employees, when they had a break, we'd go up there and eat. And there was the cook up there was named Miami Tucker, which is sweetest lady. Mm. And she would cook this food, and she loved Bob. She called him Bobby. And he would come up, and it was like, as soon as he came up there, you just put down your utensils because you weren't going to eat. And he would just put on a comedy routine. And she would come, and he'd go, Miami! And then she'd go, Bobby! And he'd go, oh, my God, what do you got today, Miami? And roast beef, Bobby, I cooked it special for you. And he goes, oh, my God, I wondered where my catcher's mitt went. And this is why, you know, it's tougher than my catcher's mitt. You know, Bobby, come on, you know. And then we were on the road one time. We'd get one road trip a year as a kid working in the clubhouse. That was we got paid $5 a game the first year. We'd work 12 hours. Got there at 2.
What a deal.
Yeah, hey. And, you know, we'd clean the whole clubhouse. We'd cook food. We'd do the laundry. We'd do all this stuff. So we're on this road trip, and we're in California, and I was out at this bar with the players. This is when I was a little older. I think I was 20 at that time. I worked there 7 years. And I was with Robin Yount and Molitor and Gantner and Charlie
big players,
Moore.
Boy.
Yeah, a few players. Yeah. And, you know, I was old enough to drink then, and Uecker was there, and you saw him when he was 90 with Yelich and all those guys. Yeah, I mean, every year the players hung with him.
Yes.
Because he was the dude. Mm-hmm. So he was carrying on and doing stories, and then all of a sudden he acts like he's really offended by somebody. He's like, oh, that's it. I'm out of here. Nah, the hell with you guys. I'm out. So he just storms out of this bar. And they're all looking around, and you know, and these guys are like, what the happened? What would he do? You know, how do we piss off Bob, you know?
Yeah.
So they go, somebody go get him, you know? So everybody heads to this front door, this big bar in California, in L.A. And we open the door, and there's no Uecker. He's gone, you know? And, like, they ask the door guy, did some old guy with gray hair come out here? No, we never saw him. And all of a sudden, this taxi cab just drifts away, and there's Uecker laying on the ground underneath the taxi cab. And he jumps up and he goes, hey, I was just kidding you. Let's go get another beer.
Oh, my God.
And he had set up the whole thing way ahead of time. Let's go. You know, and then he just, that's him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Always doing something.
A real character. I interviewed in broadcast school interviewed Merle Harmon, his partner at the time.
Sweetheart.
He was a very, very nice guy, and he really helped me out with the interview. I didn't know what to ask, you know, and I wasn't a sports guy either, but he was so accommodating. Just one of the nicest guys around. He had the Merle Harmon Sports Shop as well. I want to also bring up something else. You have forwards in here, one by Eddie Doucette.
Yeah. Terrific guy. I'm still in touch with him.
He was the Bucks announcer for many years, right?
He looks the same age as he did then.
Back then. Yeah. Now, I listened to him on the radio in WRIT. He was the Duke of Dilemma. Yeah. Eddie Doucette, the Duke of Dilemma.
The toaster, you know, he came up with it. Yeah. The, you know, every nickname, you know.
He was one of the great announcers.
He was terrific. You know, the Bucks as a franchise wouldn't have really made it without Eddie Doucette in those first 2 years.
Yes.
He made them statewide. And then, you know, once Kareem came and everything, it took off. But Eddie Doucette, with the nicknames and the energy and everything, people loved him.
Yeah.
And they still talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
So when people saw that Eddie Doucette did that forward, this helped us book tremendously.
Absolutely. Well,
so you were a ball boy with the Bucks when Lou Alcindor / Kareem was there.
Yeah. I have a ring.
You got the ring, too.
I got the ring. Oh, because here's how it happened. So I called the Bucks when I had a transistor radio for my paper route. Every kid had a paper route.
Same here.
Yeah, you had a paper route.
Yep.
So, you know, if you've got enough subscriptions, you get a transistor radio, right?
Right.
So when I heard they were going to do the coin flip, you know, the Bucks finished last the first year, and I heard they were going to do the coin flip. This is 69. What a year, right? Woodstock, boom.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to this little transistor radio to see what's going to happen with the coin flip, and the Phoenix Suns lose, and the Bucks win the coin flip, and they're going to get Lou Alcindor. So I run to the rotary phone, pull out the yellow pages, look up the Bucks office. Now, this is so stupid because the Bucks office is going nuts. You know, I don't know this. I'm a stupid 15-year-old kid. And I dial their number, and this super nice lady, Jean Schuler, I still am in touch with her. I mean, think about this. I'm 71. I was 15. And she answers the phone politely. Hello, Milwaukee Bucks. And I said, how do you get a job as a ball boy? And she said, well, we're interviewing tomorrow. I'll put your name on the list.
Wow.
And I took the bus downtown to Milwaukee Quarter, and I interview with about 350 kids with the general manager. This would never happen today. Wayne Amber, the coach, the trainer, and the equipment manager.
Wow.
And I get they really liked me, so they put me on the Bucks bench. So Kareem and I started at the same time.
We won the
championship.
You did.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, we've covered the Bucks and the Brewers. Let's move on to the Packers.
Yeah. So the Packers played 5 games in Milwaukee then because Vince Lombardi was so afraid that the NFL would put a franchise in Milwaukee and really hurt Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So he put these games down there. So they played in County Stadium, which was crazy because they're playing on a baseball field, right? And the infield was as hard as this table, right?
Yeah.
So when I was working with the Brewers, I was so grateful for this job. It was such a terrific job. You know, you're meeting everybody. I met the coaches that were on these teams were Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Yogi Berra, Warren Spahn. I mean,
right.
Killer's Row. I mean, I met guys you wouldn't believe, you know. And I could go on. It was every famous baseball player you'd ever heard.
The golden era, really.
Oh, my God, it was. I mean, I worked for the Baltimore Orioles as a bat boy. I would work in the visiting side oftentimes. You know, that was the year they had 420 game winners and won the World Series and beat the Cincinnati Reds. I worked for the Oakland Athletics with Reggie Jackson. You know, can you imagine kneeling in a circle next to Reggie Jackson?
No.
Carl Yastrzemski, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, talking to these guys. I got to be a bat boy in Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium, you know. It's every kid's dream come true. But anyway, so I'm like, what do I got to do to keep this job? So I hustled and hustled and hustled. So the guy working in the clubhouse says to me, hey, how would you like to work the Packer games? I'm a kid from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Why ask?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You know, so I ran. Yeah. So what I did was I ran and ran and ran. I never took one walking step in the arena or the stadium. So I would run everywhere. And so he's still my friend. That guy is an unbelievable friend. So I worked the Packer games. So you worked the sidelines and you carry out all the equipment through the tunnels and up the dugout steps. And, And we worked the Packer game. So that was Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke, Willie Wood, Herb Adderley, Dave Robinson, you name it.
And that is an amazing story. Were there any run-ins with some of the players that you didn't get along with?
I have a chapter in the book. You know, my book's called The Luckiest Boy in the World. Mm-hmm. And I have a chapter in the book about the Hall of Shame. Mm-hmm. I decided not to pull any punches in the book. You know, 98% of the people, 99% of the people I work with, fabulous. Baseball players were terrific guys. But there were five people in there that I mentioned: Denny McLean, Lou Piniella, Willie Mays, surprisingly.
Really?
Yeah, Willie Mays was not a good person. But Lou Piniella was the all-time worst. Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, a terrible person. Yeah, he would come up, if he struck out.
Had quite a temper.
Yeah, he had a terrible temper. And he'd come up and he'd tear up the locker room. And then we'd have to clean the whole mess up.
Were there any Arnold Palmer moments that you can remember?
Actually, just kidding.
Actually,
we're not going.
Trump
there.
Has a story.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the book is The Luckiest Boy in the World.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
There is a Lou Palmer moment, I could tell you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Sure.
Well,
got a minute left, minute or two.
Sparky Lyle was a crazy character. And my boss would buy birthday cakes for a guy if he knew it was his birthday. So it was Boog Powell's birthday. Mm-hmm. So he buys him a big sheet cake, and Louis Tiant's walking to the shower and he's got a towel around his waist, and it was sitting on a picnic bench, and he walks up to the picnic bench, steps on the thing, opens his towel, boom, puts his butt right on the birthday cake, and Boog Powell's right there, and he goes, with all the frosting on his bum, he says to him, "Happy birthday, bugger!" And then he walks to the shower, and you just see all this frosting.
All that frosting.
And I saw Sparky Lyle on an airplane about 10 years ago, and I go, "Do you remember?" And he goes, "Hey, you're a clubby."
The cake.
There you go. That's my moment.
Well, Pat McBride, great to have you with us.
You bet, man.
And
thanks for the book.
Yeah, the book is The Luckiest Boy in the World. Where can people find
this? They can find it at Mystery to Me and Leopold's and Amazon and lots of local bookstores around the state.
Do we have that song? No?
Mm-hmm.
The Pee Wee Herman thing? Yeah. I pulled it up, but then I got rid of it.
Just a little bit outside.
Well, he has a song called "The Luckiest Boy in the World."
Oh, wow.
It's cute.
Thank you, Pat.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Take care.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I am the luckiest boy in the world.
Pee-wee.
My wish to fly has come true.
And you were flying, boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the teams, all the different teams.
We're with Pat McBride. We asked him to stay over here through the break because we started talking off air and found out you worked at Wrigley Field one of your first games, right?
Yeah, 1969. Now, this is incredible.
Being a Cubs fan, I had to hear some stories here. So yeah. Tell us what that was like.
My very first game was the 1969 Cubs, the famous team. That had the August swoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And every Cubs fan breaks your heart, right? So they show up, and the equipment manager pulls out a Bat Boy bag, and there's three different size uniforms in there. And I get a wool Cubs uniform with the C and the Cub in it.
Oh,
I mean, I'm not kidding you. Yeah. And they teach you how to put on the uniform. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And he gives me a Cubs hat.
Can you get into that yet? Or?
Oh, yeah. So,
you don't get to keep it, though.
No.
Oh,
a lot of times the team gives you the hat to keep. So I got this collection of hats from visiting teams. So, and you're always hoping, is the guy going to give me the hat? So, but you can't ask. See, that's the, if you start saying, hey, can I have a hat? Can I have a sweatband? You're out. So they teach you how to go down to the dugout, set up the dugout, and when you see the field from the dugout, it is so stunning. You feel like you're in Field of Dreams. And I'm not kidding. When I saw Field of Dreams, I wept.
Yeah.
That's how important it was to me. I mean, it's hard to describe. So I get all the bats ready. You put the bats in the order of the starting lineup and the helmets on this thing, and I'm down there, and I've got my mitt, and I'm kind of waiting, and all of a sudden I hear click, 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 and it's spikes coming down the tunnel. It's the first player that I'm going to meet as a bat boy in the dugout.
Yeah.
And a guy sticks his head around the corner, like, you know, and he goes, "Hey, it's a great day, son. Let's play two." And I thought I was literally going to drop over because it's Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks.
Mr. Cub.
Yeah.
And when I saw that statue of him at Wrigley Field, oh, man, I got emotional. Yeah. I really did.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, my God, it's Ernie Banks. And he said, "Hey, son, you want to have a catch?"
Oh, my God.
Well,
really?
Let's see. What's the answer to that question? Man, I jump out of there. I grab a ball, and we go out in the gravel, and I'm playing catch with Ernie Banks, and I'm so nervous I can barely get it there. And he goes, "Hey, relax, son. It's just catch." And pretty soon we're just whipping it back and forth. And I feel like, did I just die and go to heaven?
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then, you know, I go up, and there's the 69 Cubs, Fergie Jenkins, Ron Santos. Wow. I walk in the locker room, there's Ron Santo giving himself an insulin injection. This is 69. People just did not do that.
Right.
Yeah. And nobody knew about it.
Yeah. Nobody knew.
Right.
Yeah.
What a baseball team.
Yeah.
You know, except for Leo the Lip.
You met DeRozier, DeRozier too, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we met a lot. The managers were generally pretty tough guys.
Sure.
How many years did you spend with each and every one of these teams?
Seven. I was there 7 years, from 15 to 22. And I had an amazing experience, a mind-boggling experience. Mm-hmm. I decided when I was 15 that I'd hang around the trainer of the Bucks. He was my mentor, Arne Garber. Mm-hmm. He changed my life. And I was working with him rehabbing players. I would take the bus downtown to the Milwaukee Arena, and I'd help him rehab some players in the summer just for the experience. Yeah. I learned how to tape ankles, and he made me the assistant trainer.
Well, wow.
I was just
good
at it. And I was really interested, so I took a summer course that summer at age 15 in athletic training, and I was the athletic trainer for our high school. And so I said to him, I'd like to be a trainer when I was 16, I think, 17. And he said, no.
No?
No, you're not going to be a trainer. And I was crestfallen. I thought, God. So I'm a dumb twin. That's what the teachers called me at school.
Really?
Yeah. And I can now. Wow. I'm not going to be a trainer. The moment was really hard. Mm-hmm. I got heaviness still in my chest right now. I'll never forget the moment. He said, "You're too smart to be a trainer. And I don't want you hanging around locker rooms the rest of your life. You're going to medical school."
Wow.
And I looked,
and you did go.
Yeah. And I looked at him. He said, "From now on, I want to see every report card, and it's going to be above 3.5, or you're not working here anymore." Oh. And I was, you know, kind of a goof off and all that stuff. And boom, you know, I applied myself and I went to medical school and became a professor and then eventually a dean.
And currently you're with UW?
Yeah, I'm an emeritus professor at the University of Wisconsin.
In cardiology?
Yes.
Wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Pat McBride, luckiest boy in the world. One more story. Talk about Pete Rose.
Yeah, Pete Rose.
Pete Rose story?
This is a fantastic.
He's a jerk, right?
He was not a nice person.
Not a nice guy.
Well, you can tell. I mean, you know, it's like Pete Rose, Denny McClain. They made it public, you know.
Right.
So, well, they were picked on constantly, and I'd have a chip on my shoulder.
Oh, yeah, poor guys.
They were jerks. Yeah, they were jerks on the field and off the field.
I really feel sorry for these guys.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate to work two All-Star games. Mm-hmm. You know, I worked the 75 All-Star game for the, you know, American and National League at the Brewers, and I worked the 77 All-Star game in the NBA. That was quite an experience as well. Dr. J, Kareem came back.
Wow. Really?
From the Lakers. Yeah. Forgot his warm-up, and we went and got his Bucks warm-up, and he came out in his Bucks warm-up, and he was really worried about coming back, you know, because he'd been gone, right?
Yeah.
And he thought he was going to get booed, and he comes out in his Bucks warm-up, which I eventually owned.
Good for you.
Yeah, it said El Cinder on it.
The place
went crazy.
Yeah.
Place went nuts. Gave him a standing ovation. Anyway, back to Rose. So 75 was the All-Star game, and I was working in the visiting locker room. And we had Rose in the first locker, Bench in the second, Morgan, Perez. And then we had the Dodgers. We had the Mets and the whole thing. And Rose was – so we were there 3 days. You know, they have these batting contests and all this stuff. And Rose was – you know, these guys, Rose was the kind of person you'd have the laundry basket there, and he'd walk next to it, and he'd drop his laundry on the floor.
Wow.
And you'd think, man, who raised you?
God.
Pat, we're out of time.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again. Pat
You're
McBride,
welcome.
The book is The Luckiest Boy in the World. We really appreciate it.
You know, back
gotta
to politics.
Got
to
get you back sometime.
Yeah, you bet.
Politics right. is right.
Tomorrow, Mike McCabe will join us. We hope you have a great day. John.
Gordy.
John.
That's your name. Gordy.
Sam.
John.
Sam.
Gordy.
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 Pat.
Pat.
Have a great day.
All right.
Have a great day, everybody. Stay warm.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.